Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the South Africa podcast. You're listening to myself, Ivic Wolf, with my co-host, Scratch. This evening, we have our return podcast here with Mickey Bamboo. Good evening, Mickey. How are you doing?
I am exhausted, but that's only because it's about 80 here.
80 and... degrees Celsius? No, wait.
It's 80 degrees Celsius. Things would be like...
trees would be combusting outside.
Yeah. I was trying to think of Celsius to Fahrenheit conversion, and I can do meters.
80
and stuff,
80
but...
is 33 degrees, I think.
No,
but it's got like 95% humidity.
Oh,
80 you're Fahrenheit is 27 degrees.
Yeah, he's you're pretty much in the KwaZulu-Natal area of humidity.
Oh, damn. That sucks.
All right. So, Mickey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. I like long walks on the beach.
Do you like pina coladas?
Actually, no. Okay. Very interesting thing that a lot of people probably don't know and probably don't care, but I don't actually drink at all.
That's cool.
Damn. Yeah. That's my wine down.
No. That's the thing. I don't have any problem with anyone else drinking, but my mom had an issue drinking, so it's one of those things where I was like, my parents always grew up telling me not. They didn't tell me don't drink, but they were, well, at least my dad was like, drink in moderation if you're going to drink at all. But my mom had an issue, so I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm even going to start.
Mm-hmm.
If something like that runs in my family, it's like, I don't need it. I'm, but I don't have a thing with other people drinking.
Hmm. All right. Okay, well, continue telling us a little bit about yourself. Long walks on the beach, I think, was it? Or in the rain? Which one was it?
I don't know. No, it's only caught in the rain if you're drinking those pina coladas.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
And if you're not into yoga.
What did you say?
And if you're not into yoga.
And if you're not into yoga, exactly.
All right, so.
Well, it's.
What do you really do? What are you really into?
What are we talking about and really into? I mean, I could go on and on about multiple stuff.
Well, as many multiple, mostly safer work things, I guess.
Oh, mostly safer work things. Oh, I. Do I have to censor myself now?
No, not really. Go for it.
Okay. I'm a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge nerd. Star Trek, Star Wars. I play Dungeons & Dragons. I read comic books. I'm a comic book encyclopedia. I could bore you now with all my extreme knowledge of characters, storylines, and probably bore your audience as well.
It's fine. I think they don't mind being bored every now and again. I guess maybe they do. Maybe. Any case, so I mean, like, obviously, you know, comic books, we've already been speaking on the podcast in respect to sort of the dichotomy of, like, from comics into furry, especially in the 1990s to even earlier than that, 1980s, 1970s, 60s, so on and so forth.
Don't get me started on the 90s comics, but continue.
But I mean, like, how did you actually get into, like, the furry fandom? How many years was it? Like, how long have you been in the fandom? What drew you to it?
Okay, let us see. Trying to go back. Well, I've always been into were creatures. That was my gateway drug.
Yeah.
You're like, yep,
Yeah.
No, but, that was me. I mean, there was stuff like Animorphs, episodes of, like, Goosebumps and stuff like that. This is going to age me. I'm 32, for those of you who care. So
you're only 2 years older than both of us.
I remember all the stuff like Looney, Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, Road Rovers, Dog City, Jim Henson's The Dinosaurs, DuckTales, I mean, you've got your furry fantasies right there on a silver platter. Yep. It was like the golden age to infect the furry fandom.
Like what you just mentioned is like the furry fandom starter kit.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I mean, then you had like stuff that began with like Pokemon and Digimon, and hell, I mean, Pokemon, there's a lot of Pokefurs out there, but if you really want to see sexualized Anthros, I mean, look at Digimon.
Yeah.
Not going to go into that one, but...
I
understand what you mean. Like, some of the later evolutions or whatever they call it, the upgrades, are risque.
Oh, yeah.
Risque for a kid's cartoon. Oh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like...
why are they naked?
Yeah, they're either, like, naked, or you've got people... or you've got the males, like, shirtless, showing off, like, super muscular pecs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the females always have to cleavage or boob windows or whatever.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, if you want to sexually confuse a kid, there you go.
Yeah.
And then... You've got that's the start of things like that. And then, of course, I wasn't allowed to have the internet for years until my mom passed away. I won't completely get into that, but once that happened, my dad was like, okay, new computer, let's get the internet.
that weirdly enough reminds me of my contact sports.
So yeah, on the internet, I decided to look up werewolves. That was a bad thing.
did you go into images safe search?
I didn't know about safe search at the time. But but at the time you really didn't have like this one whole like come here for werewolves or come here for so and so. You had something called web rings.
Mhm.
And with those web rings, you could get anything from just nice, safe for work werewolf stuff. And then it would transfer you to something much more risque.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like you get to the classic transfer site.
Yeah.
Which is where you got a lot of the transformation stuff.
There is a 2017 book that is a film, even. That is very interesting that I've literally just found by searching for werewolves online, called Werewolves of the Third Reich.
Oh, joy.
Oh God.
Are we there again?
Are they zombie werewolves?
Half werewolf, half Nazi. Total terror.
Oh my God. Now the question is, what's the worst half?
I don't know yet.
I know. I know. Yeah. I like ideology.
Oh.
Ideology is chosen to a large degree. Ah, you can change your ideology. Okay. You can't change the fact that you're a werewolf.
So we're calling werewolfism a pre-existing condition.
Yes, of course.
Or Nazism. Not necessarily sure which.
Nazism is not a pre-existing condition.
In Germany, at the height of World War II, a ragtag group of American soldiers discovered Dr. Mengele's a diabolical plot to create an unstoppable army of Nazi werewolves.
Now, here's
it sounds like Iron Sky 3.
Go.
Now, here's a question. Why the hell are werewolves always evil unless they're, like, sexualized?
Huh. Or they're rehabilitated into something better.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, think... Unless you're in like something like Twilight, werewolves are always like the bad guy.
I don't know. Something about like the feral, uncontrollable, like it's a rage kind of thing. I don't know. Like the Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, except Mr. Hyde can't really, you know, speak at all, but he has the same personality.
Well, it depends on the Mr. Hyde.
Mm. Russell Crowe did a pretty good Mr. Hyde in that what's it, the Mummy movie? The movie itself sucked, but I kind of like the premise that they were trying to set up.
Well, they were trying to do the whole Marvel thing and with the expanded universe.
Mm.
Which I'm like, oh God. The Marvel thing only worked by accident, by complete accident.
Yeah, trying to engineer it is a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's
kind of already there, so.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going into it expecting to have this huge universe, you've either got to work your way up to it, or at least have a decent stories to like build everything on. I mean. That's one reason where the DC universe is sort of failing. I mean, but we won't get into that.
At least it's doing well in the series arena.
Oh yeah, TV series definitely. But then again, the TV series are it's actually helmed by a gay man. So, yeah, Greg Berlanti is. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go for it.
No, yeah, Greg Berlanti, who helms the TV, usually the CW or Arrowverse, is actually a gay man, and he made sure to include as much gay content in the CW shows as he possibly can.
That's hilarious.
So a little bit more about you.
Oh, we have to go back to me now, huh?
Yeah, you still haven't necessarily told us when you joined the fandom. You've told us what brought you to the fandom, but you never actually told us when.
Now, are we discussing what joining the fandom is? Are we talking about being just a fan, or are we talking about actually being a contributing member?
Both.
Yes, start off with the when did the term furry click?
There was stuff like VCL back then after transfers. Like, what is this? Interesting. People like this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay, why not? And honestly, I just lurked for years. Maybe talk, maybe make some friends, but I was very picky with who I was friends with. I mean, extremely picky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like being out there, considering as much classes I took in like network security and everything. I like to clamp down on my real life
stuff. Leaking out onto the internet, essentially.
Yes, because I've seen how much shit that can actually go down if things are leaked.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna like do this, but. Yeah, I've met a lot of good friends. Met my fiance through it. Let's see. Family doesn't know that I'm a furry, but they know I'm bi. And I think I had the least exciting coming out story ever. Told my sister, "Oh, I always figured you were gay." Thanks a lot!
I speak for everyone when I say, "Duh!"
No. Trust me, it's not. Honestly, I'm not really obvious. I actually had a few girlfriends.
Okay. No. I'm just. I was just referencing a really bad TV show.
Yeah, I know. And when I told my father, my father, his first response was, "Oh, you have a boyfriend? Does he have a job?" That was his first response.
Well, at least he knows what the priorities are. It's like, do you have to take care of him? No, then good.
Yeah, that's pretty much. It was like, really? And I was like, oh, he's. And then I said, my fiance is a professor. Well, my now fiance is a professor. I said, oh, good. So then, what's he doing with you?
Wow.
Yeah. I get no respect.
Same.
I can imagine you tugging at a random like collar and things like that, and like looking off into the Rodney Dangerfield world.
Exactly. As I said, it was like least exciting coming out story. There was like no like celebration. Oh, there was no like, you are not my son. It was like, okay, whatever. What's on tonight?
Yeah, thankfully that's sort of going the way of the dinosaur. People are. Like, it can sort of take you by surprise, but it's not. That melodrama is getting less and less, or at least what I'm hearing from it.
Mm. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, that is not the response you expect.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Like, you at least don't expect fanfare, but, you know, I don't know. It's like a little bit of excitement would be nice.
Yeah. Either excitement or like, it was like some response, but my family's actually very, we love each other. We're very family centered, but at the same time, we do not say we love you. We don't hug.
Oh yeah, one of those.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Whoops.
I don't know. It's like, why do you have to say it? I mean, we love you. I was like, why do you?
It's always implied, like Mother's Day, Father's Day, those kind of things are just like formalities.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like, oh no, we do appreciate each other. We do, we really do support each other as a family. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, we're very close, but we don't show it.
Yeah, like I love you, Dad. Are you okay for money?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. He was like, yeah, my dad will just like, you need anything? He's like, yeah. My dad was the only one who helped us move. Well, helped me move in with my fiance, even though he has a bad back. He bought the trailer to help us move. He moved, he drove the trailer for 8 hours. So,
oh, damn.
Yeah, and then this last summer, my dad decided to move in with my sister because my dad was, as I said, my family doesn't really show emotion, but my dad was really depressed after I moved out. And after my sister moved out, and he likes people, so he decided to move in with my sister and her three children, and she'll always tell you she has three children.
Well, I mean, at least she acknowledges all three children.
Oh, yes, she acknowledges all three children. And my sister is... My sister makes sure they go out and do all the things that they need to do. And but at the same time, she also watches comic book movies and plays D&D with us. So
nice.
And, yeah, and I can also blame my father for, like, comic books and stuff because he's the one who got me into all that.
Well, I mean, Scratch, you pretty much have a very similar story to that with your parents constantly sort of feeding your addiction to Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, that's true. I actually started, like, reading Calvin and Hobbes from, like, a friend or neighbor-turned-friend of mine who had some books, and I was just like, this is amazing. And then I just kept buying them with my pocket money. And now, yeah.
My dad, yeah.
I don't have like encyclopedic knowledge about comic books or anything, but I have a, I wouldn't call it a refined palette, but I have a good understanding of how the medium works and why I love it. So yeah, I understand the medium better than I do lore. Let's say that.
Yeah, trust me. Do not get me into lore. I will confuse you, and like, considering that the DC universe has rebooted 3 times. And I do mean rebooted, I mean, but as I said, I will not get into that. But if you want to know how addicted I am to comic books, my dad used to read to me X-Men comics for bedtime stories.
Aww.
Yes.
That's a little bit weird, though. It's like...
how do you... especially when you hear it was the Dark Phoenix saga.
Oh, goddamn. Wow, what? Okay.
Any case... So, with, like, obviously your influence into the sort of, like, furry fandom and things like that, what exactly inspired you to begin a podcast?
Oh.
Yeah, we're 20 minutes in, we haven't mentioned his podcast.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, it's not like it's, like, plastered all over everywhere else.
Well, I do like the brand. I always want to put up 2 things. My icon is by Vulcan Fox, the little panda icon that I use, and the image is he drew that. He actually has his. He actually did a game recently, a choose your own adventure transformation sort of game on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
called The Pirate's Fate, and I always just want to make sure that he and he gets some credit for that, because we're good friends, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the icon, the Panda Paws icon, is actually done by an artist named Ivy Bath. And yes, I like to hawk for other people, mainly because they do so much stuff for me that I think they deserve to be recognized for, like, their art and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, completely understandable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mickey Bamboo was just created with, like, for the just because I thought it would be a fun character. Unfortunately, the character has been co-opted by my fiance. He was supposed to be like a, like, sort of a dark mobster type, like, con man type thing, and my fiance decided to turn him into a cute NPR type broadcaster. Yes.
Can yes, it be? Can it be both? Mobster by night, broadcaster by day.
No, mm-hmm. no. He's ruined the character enough. He's had people draw my character. Okay. I will. One of my friend. I let him know one day about one of my. He likes to enjoy stories from my youth because I am so, like, innocent. My youth was so innocent. I mean, literally. I was part of a group called the Conflict Mediators when I was in elementary school. Oh, yes. I had a little vest and everything, and we had a little theme song, and we went out and we tried to make sure that people who fought talked to each other and made friends. And remember, this is real life. This isn't like some TV show, and yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how many times did people retaliate when this happened?
Oh, no, 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 no. The thing is that they were given the choice, either do this or get, like, suspended, so.
Okay.
So it's like, yeah, they grudgingly, yeah, yeah, we make up, blah, 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 blah. We don't really care, but we're going to go through this just because.
Okay, so this was inside school. Thankfully, this wasn't a rogue squad outside where you guys were, like, walking up to gang violence and saying, like, hey, guys, let's talk about this. Getting shot.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, these are all kids under sixth grade and under. So yeah, yeah. We went out to roving gangs. It's like, hey, what? Hey, what is? Let's mediate your conflict with this other gang. Let's talk about it.
if seriously, if sixth graders could just, like, have the Bloods and the Crips sit down together and just, like, speak calmly about it, that is a movie worthy, Oscar worthy.
Now let's talk about your feelings. What did they do to hurt you?
They stole our drugs.
And how does that make you feel?
Like, I shut up, little Kevin's back. Funeral.
Oh god. I don't know how we derailed that far. Let's double back. Back up.
Double back. Yep. So, let's talk more about Panda Paws. What exactly was the sort of general idea behind Panda Paws? Why did you guys decide to start, like, or I say you guys, but why did you start the sort of premise of it?
Well, it is sort of us. The thing is that it was a combination of him and me who came up with the idea, but...
Who's him?
My fiance.
Okay.
We came up with the idea sort of together, but he likes to take credit as my producer. So I actually, if you actually look at all the video, all the audio files, I actually have him as a producer for my for all the audio stuff. And it's one of those things. I just moved in with him, and we didn't really have much going on. I was looking for a job. That was before I decided to go and get back into school a few years later, because I could not find a job in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Also, before we do that, I just have to post this wonderful picture that my fiance commissioned. So that you can see exactly how much he loves to destroy the idea of my character as a con man. Take a look real quick.
Is it safe for work?
No.
Oh, it's very safe for work.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take him. Okay, I'm just yeah. Woo.
As I told you. That. Yeah, you can't recover a con man persona after being drawn like that, can you?
Nope, not at all. Not in the slightest.
Nope. Yep. Character wow. Over.
Oh damn.
But yes, so he figured that I could do this and maybe try to make a little bit money off of it, like maybe mm-hmm. as a Patreon and stuff like that. But I also thought it's very rarely do you see anything about the people behind their personas or mm-hmm. who people really are. I mean, if you might have heard of them or see them at cons, you don't really know about like their history or like the person behind the fur. As it were. So I'd like to talk to like artists and writers, anything that's like a furry content creator. I've had a few people that you guys had on before, Kyle Gold, Tempo. I'm trying to think of who else we've had together. We talked about this a little while ago, but just between us, but we were like trying to discuss who we had on the show that the other that
who
you guys
overlapped,
had.
Yeah, how much overlap we had.
Mm-hmm. And it was really not as much as we thought.
Yeah, I mean, like with, jeez, more than, 200 and something episodes between the two of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like you'd think that there would be some type of overlap. Yeah. Really it's just sort of Kyle Gold and Tempo.
Yeah, it was funny because I've got a lot of interviews and stuff like that, but I also do like little... not sketches, but I do little topics such as mm-hmm. I've had Cooner and Shenanigan and Captain and Jerbear on to discuss their history in animation because all three of them were in the animation industry over uh-huh. here. Right. Then I had a discussion. One of my friends is a lawyer, Vulcan Fox, and mm-hmm. he's discussed like doing furries and law and like setting up your Patreon. So. It's all legal and everything because mm-hmm. you can run afoul of stuff. Two of my friends actually worked at Disney World and they gave some behind Disney. The scenes stuff about working with Disney World. Apparently all the prince and princesses at Disney World have sex with each other. So I think one of those, yeah, they said like, yeah, Belle would be with like, would be with like Prince Charming, and then they'd be cheating on Cinderella and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. God. Oh, okay.
And
there's a real story behind the person behind the mask.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Apparently, yeah, because they're like the faces. The princes and princesses were like actually. As cast members, were actually treated pretty much like princesses. Huh. Yeah.
Princesses.
Yeah, they were pretty much treated like royalty amongst like all the cast members. They got all the good food, all the like best places.
What, you get bad food if you play Gaston? What the hell?
No. If you're a face, you get a lot of... You apparently get a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, but if you're in the Woody costume or...
Yeah, you don't get as much. But anyone who's into costumes get, like, treated really well. Apparently, you know the Queen of Hearts?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Usually always played by a man.
Huh.
Why?
Because apparently the Queen of Hearts costume is so large, the person inside it has to be, like, 6'2" or something like that.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
So the person takes off his hat and you see, like, a very manly guy underneath there.
Yo. Is this the Queen of Hearts, like the Disney animated Queen of Hearts lookalike costume?
Yeah, you know how Disney has all those costumes running around and making and saying hi to the people and customers and guests.
Mm.
Yeah, and it was some of those things are fun. Had an episode on like. Horror stories from cons because some of those are fun.
They're always interesting.
Yeah, and I do a little bit of everything. I like to make sure that I have artists and writers. I've had dancers and musicians. Every so often I review a movie because I love, because I'm a nerd.
And nerds will have their say, come hell or high water.
Of course, of course.
Remind me to talk to you after the show about the end credits of Infinity War.
Oh, do you want me to explain them in detail?
Afterwards, after the show, no spoilers here.
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell you exactly what happened, why it happened, and what's probably going to happen in the movies, considering what happened in the comic version.
Okay.
Yes, I'm, and that this is without even looking at spoilers. I can probably figure out what's going to happen, which is a good thing because I really enjoyed Infinity War.
Yeah, it was a nice change of pace.
Great for you guys. Go for that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No,
Scotch, do you have any questions?
I think we've actually covered. Like the Mickey Bamboo character, was the choice of the panda just sort of, was there a reasoning behind that? I mean, we know what the mobster persona was there to sort of start with, but why the panda?
I wanted something completely different. Usually I chose like big cats as my personas, mm-hmm. and I really didn't care anything about it. It is just, I've never really cared enough about a persona. It was just something like, okay, whatever. This is something to like, you know, play as and to be identified as. And then I picked this one and it was like, you know what? I need something to, something that's, and I wanted something a little bit different. And it was like, how about a panda? Okay. But I can't just do just like a classic panda. I was maybe an Irish mobster type panda.
Okay.
Because I am Irish, so it was like, actually, I'm a huge mix of everything. I'm Irish, mm-hmm. German, Swiss, Polish.
I'm assuming that's where the Mickey comes from.
That's where the Mickey comes from.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, you know, the Mickey, and of course Bamboo, because I'm a punster. I love puns, much to the detriment of my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody seems to like puns.
I love it. I love it as well. But I have a very scattershot approach, in that I will try and squeeze in a pun wherever there's like a sort of an opportunity, and 9 of them don't land. But that 10th one that strikes gold, like really? I'm walking on clouds for the rest of the day.
I mean, I'm surprised you haven't gotten it from the name of my show.
Yeah.
I
only saw the spelling recently, so yes.
Yeah.
Gently flaps arms in there.
Why gently?
No, because any harder than that, I might just knock down drinks, and I don't necessarily like that.
Yeah, my coffee's starting
to get cold. There is a question from Trace here. What is the most interesting thing, or what is one of the most interesting things you have learnt on a podcast?
That's hard. I'm certain you guys have the same issue as I do. After you do so many podcasts, they start to all merge together somewhat.
Oh yeah, they do.
In your head, you remember certain things, but a lot of the stuff is like, okay, which this podcast did this and what did, and sometimes it's hard to like switch out some ideas. I'm trying to think what is. It depends on what you're asking for. If you're asking for some, I enjoyed a lot of the stuff about the Disney. Information of Disney World, because sometimes I just like to know about gossip, and it's like it's fun to hear like how the Disney princesses and princesses are like the mean girls and everything.
Mm-hmm. Like no, that's exactly school, how they describe. Some high school bullshit going on there.
Actually, apparently, yes. Apparently, it was all like high school drama. If you work at Disney World, it's like high school drama and everything. And
Ariel told Belle that Cinderella told Pocahontas. Fuck my life.
Actually, yes. Apparently, that's it. And then sometimes, Belle and Pocahontas do it on the side.
Oh God.
What?
I am not kidding you. They said, yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes the princesses get together too.
Huh. Well.
I'm scanning my brain for something, but I can't find a pun. I can't find the opening for that one.
That's a royal travesty.
I go home or something.
I was expecting that's it, everyone. Podcast over. We're done here.
GG, good night. So the most interesting thing was the Disney gossip thing.
It's one of them. There's other things. I love, it's, as I said, with as many as it is, there's really hard. Honestly, I like hearing the stories from some of the people about their lives outside the furry fandom. I mean, some people work in the gaming industry, or one of the dancers I interviewed actually is a mechanic for a well-known airspace program. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Some people maybe I believe work on programming, and they do art on the side. Where it's always nice to see what,
Where do they get the time?
Oh no! The one who I always ask, "Where do you get the time?" is freaking Tempo.
Oh fuck! Of course.
Yeah, but I mean, like Tempo just. Oh, weirdly enough, now speaking of Tempo, I was actually speaking to him about like side projects that I wanted to do and everything like that. And he actually just like said, you know, if you have half an hour to do something, do it. Literally just that. And I'm kind of sitting here going like,
where do you have that half an hour?
Do I just sort of like it out of like thin air and just like, oh, look, here's half an hour. I can do it here.
Yes. Let me learn Spanish in this half an hour. Oh, done.
Yeah, no hablo. Yay! I don't know.
It's all meant with good intentions, but it's all.
It just
comes down to like prioritizing what you want to spend your free time on.
Yes, yeah. I can understand that. I can completely understand what he actually means there, and I actually agree. Yeah, yeah. It's a very good point.
However. When I get home, I'm just dead. I'm dead on my feet. I want to go home. I want to just have a toasted sandwich and go to bed.
Toasted
sandwich is like only like 5 minutes of that half an hour. Eating it is another 5 minutes of that half an hour. Then you got another 20 minutes to play with.
Yeah, but that 20 minutes is taken up. That 20 minutes is taken up by finishing the YouTube video I started watching when I started eating.
Oh yeah, just you just want to sometimes just turn your brain off and just.
Oh, very much so.
Maybe turning your brain off is, you know, writing something.
It's the cardinal sin, actually.
What, turning your brain off?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
If you want to get shit done, you need to have an engaged brain, like, all the time. Never stop.
Well, why is it only the cardinal's sin? What about the raven's sin or the crow's sin? I mean, why do cardinals have all the sins?
You think it's serious right now? don't engage him, Ivic.
There are some crow sins on, like eating shit.
Now we get down to the ostrich sins. Whew. Oh, that's when shit goes down.
Big eggs, man. Big eggs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Drumsticks you could beat a man to death with. Ostrich meat's good though. Ostrich meat is really tasty.
I was gonna ask. I've never had ostrich meat. I hear it's actually not too bad.
It's also incredibly healthy. You know, go ahead, Ivic.
Is it?
And low cholesterol.
Is it gamey at all, or?
It's red meat, so it's, and it's not super.
Really, gamey. It's red meat.
Yes.
A bird that's a red meat.
Yes. At least as far as I can remember.
Badge tells me that it's amazing.
Yeah, ostrich is pretty good. It's very tasty, kind of very very iron meat.
Take ostrich meat over? Oh, ostrich meat over beef burgers.
Mm. Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, ostrich really like maintains its texture after you cook it. It's not like beef that's been so processed that it shrinks down from the shrinks down by 40% when you take it off the grill kind of thing.
Interesting. Of course, we don't have a lot of ostrich farms up here, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, come down to South Africa. We've tons of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just let me get all this imaginary money that I have.
All this money.
Halcyon mentions the following: cardinals always commit the most foul sins.
Oh, fuck off.
I like that one. I'm sorry.
See, like, that kind of. Is that low hanging fruit? Like, I never know if I should go with stuff like that.
Foul birds. I think that's pretty much a low hanging fruit, but at the end of the day, if you don't say.
Is he tweeting at you?
No, he's posting it onto the live chat currently.
I see what you did there. Okay, I see what you did there.
He caught it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Was that fuck or duck?
Both.
Both. As foul a word as both of them. There we go. Okay, I'm gonna stop now. I'm gonna go.
Thank you.
I'm going to.
Thank you.
Badge. Get the shotgun. Time. No, but I mean, like, you need to shoot me right now because I need to get out of this.
reminds me of a very short video clip, but I'll send it later.
Yeah, censorship. Just shoot my mouth off. Thank you. I don't need to do it myself anymore.
My fiance describes my puns as low-hanging fruit that fell off the tree, rolled down the hill, fell into the gutter, and has been there for a few days before I pick it up and decide, this is a good pun.
This is ripe enough.
I think it's overripe, maybe.
Yeah. That's still funny, though. Like, yeah, you have to take those opportunities for sure.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, like, and like the thing is that a podcast isn't a podcast without at least one pun. I mean, like, at the end of the day, our podcast is literally based off the pun itself. It's the podcast, so yay. I mean, you've got Panda Paws, we've got podcast. I mean, the con itself. Yeah, the con itself is South Africa. Like, woo, oh my god.
fact, you said it sounds... Yeah, go ahead.
No, speaking of South Africa, I remember that, like, somebody mentioned what kind of con we have here. And they actually said that the name of the convention was so cringy that they didn't want to go anymore. And I'm kind of sitting here going, like, that's the point.
I believe you told me is it was better than South...
What was it?
Africa.
South Africa. Yeah. It's a lot better than that, honestly.
No, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like days.
South Africa or whatever. It doesn't bloody matter. And I mean, like, the thing is that everybody wants the term fur, especially when it comes to South Africa. Like, so it's literally just in the name.
Mm-hmm. You just gotta work it a little bit.
Yeah.
Gotta make it fashion.
Yeah, but so, I mean, like, with your podcast and everything like that, your general focus when it comes to, like, having people on, what exactly sort of draws you to particular groups of people?
Stories. I mean, I like their art, like maybe their story, their writing. Sometimes I don't even know them and that other people suggest them and tell me that they have a story that's worth telling or... And I mean, you never even know, you don't know a lot of these people. You might, as I said, you might meet them like at a con or something, but you might not know what they've gone through or what they struggle to go through. Or sometimes you want to do important stuff. I mean, maybe they'll bring up something that happens in their country or something that they really are, they really want to let people know.
Okay. I mean, and like that's, isn't like that should sort of be the point of most podcasts, isn't it? Like getting people on so that other people can get to know who these people are. Like, I mean, if they have something that they're doing, something that's interesting, for instance, it's something that really needs to be sort of the main sort of point of a podcast, like creating the platform for them so that they can just like go off and do what they want to do, right?
Yeah, and some people might be a little shy at first, and others just instantly take to it, and then there's others who are shy at first and then decide, I really like this and I want to come back for more and do more of this stuff.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
I mean, it's... Yeah.
Go. It's good to use that as a platform for people to sort of... Even if it's reluctantly at first, but to just get their message out and use the soapbox you're giving them.
And I discussed, like, how do they come by their craft or their talent, or do they go to school? Is this self-taught? Mm-hmm. Is this something that they've worked for? Or did it just come by easy to them? The little hint, most people, it really didn't come by easy for them. A lot of them really worked hard for what they're, for how far they've come.
Especially artsy folk. People are just like, you see artists doing these amazing things, or you watch them live stream or whatever, and you're like, that looks so good. Like, I'll never be that good. Meanwhile, you're seeing the highlight reel, and you don't see all the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on where they...
Yeah, all the sketches, all the pulling out hair.
Oh, it started from stick figures and then eventually learned anatomy, practiced anatomy day in, day out. That's my problem with, like, the whole social media, Facebook culture. It's just, like, people cherry-pick what they want to show the world, but then... And then everyone gets depressed because their life isn't this magical, everything's awesome 24/7 buffet that they're being, like, bombarded with.
Or it's like, oh, you drew that in an hour. That must not be worth much. It was like,
oh, fuck yeah.
Oh. If only they knew the, like, what's it, like, over 3 to 4 years of time that it took them to get to the point where they could draw something in an hour.
Yeah. Yes, or and draw it well. I mean, or how many times they redrew that one circle because it's like, it's not working.
Twitter account that I follow. I think it's called like forexposure.txt.
Oh, yep. Yep. Follow that.
That's hilarious. It's essentially just people writing in the, not really the horror stories, essentially just the banal answers that some people give them when they say that they are charging for art or design work.
And why can't they get, why can't we get it for free? Or we'll pay you an exposure.
Yeah.
So, that's a weird question for you.
Is this from you or from someone else?
No, this is from me. What is the most sort of... No, that would be too difficult. Not difficult, it would just be like, it would be kind of bad to actually say something like that. What would be the most sort of like... awkward conversation that you might have had, like what exactly, like where like both of you to say that or anything?
Yeah. You broke up a bit. Say again.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you broke up a bit. Lost sentence.
Like the most awkward sort of like admission that you might have had.
That's a hard one. I don't really remember anything that was extremely awkward, at least anything that I would be comfortable in telling that's not wasn't told in private.
Yeah.
So I can't really, and honestly, most of the time I don't think I ever had a real issue. So I can't really. I honestly can't answer that question. Do you guys have one?
Yeah, definitely yes. However, you'll have to listen to the entirety of our podcast to find it.
Yeah.
Oh wow! Start sifting. Thank you so much. I guess I'll have to stop the podcast now. I mean, I've got so much to go through.
Yeah.
So
much. I mean, it's
anything for the views.
Oh, don't worry. I'll turn on invisibility so that
No. But that would just be mean.
And well, I
you're,
mean...
You're not a mean person. We know this by now. You're already nice.
No, no!
Wonderful
you're...
person to be around.
The con artist character slowly continues to die.
Oh, shit.
Destroying all sense of, like...
all semblance false, of his previous, yeah.
Yeah.
All semblance of false bravado.
Yeah.
In one foul swoop. Done. Okay. You know what? Like the thing is that, I mean, podcasts are meant to be sort of like an interaction with, and it's probably one of the reasons why we do it the way that we, like constantly going live and everything, that hoping eventually that like our chat group sort of does pop in and do the wonderful things that they've done here so far, one of them being cardinals always commit the most foul sins. The worse a pun is, the better it is. Universal rule of pun making, says Galahad, or don't let Ivic spread his wings with this pun making attempt, that being on birds.
Yeah, this could be awkward.
Yeah, it could be very awkward, but I mean, like, the thing is that, like, do you ever feel that you would have been sort of better off if there was an sort of like an interaction with your crowd, I guess? Or do you let the crowd sort of speak afterwards and then go like, hey, maybe you should do this? What is the weirdest comment that you've had so far? Let's ask that one.
Are we talking about my writing or the podcast itself?
I'm talking about like what people have commented on some of your work. What is the weirdest comment?
I'm trying to remember. Sometimes I have to delete stuff, and I think a few times I've had someone ask if one of my guests was single.
Interesting.
Oh yay. Are they single? Yes. No, which one do you want? Like, are you going to like chase irrespective of my answer would like sort of like response, wouldn't it?
And then of course there's the there's even the comments that are like just one word, like RP.
Oh whoa.
Oh whoa, what's this? Oh boy. Yeah, anything?
Yeah, as I said, sometimes I have to delete comments because it's like, nah.
Let's not put this to a public forum.
Exactly.
Oh, shame. Mm.
So, sorry, is there any reason as to upload to YouTube, for instance? I mean, I know that YouTube doesn't necessarily, cater as well for, say, things over an hour long, for instance. And this is something that I've noticed over the last 4 years, but we do it anyway because, you know, media is media. But I mean,
Oh, you're asking why I don't post on YouTube. You sort of cut off there. Well, mainly it started off because I was thinking about YouTube, but at the same time, it's like YouTube's not really a thing for audio as much. So I figured something more like SoundCloud, which has been a pretty good host to me. Mm-hmm. I pay a monthly fee, but I've got over 100 episodes on there, and I can post it on Tumblr, Twitter, anywhere, and it puts a nice little thing up, and so I don't have a problem with it. Tempo did suggest YouTube, though, and the other issue is time to put like the episodes and maybe put like backgrounds, and then you'd have to like, you know, have it all put together and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's usually why I don't do the.
I can sort of understand that, but yeah, I kind of don't want to give it this way, but we kind of take the lazy approach where all the recordings are done through like OBS, and we just have a stationary background, at least just show the characters, the people that are taking part in the. In the conversation, and then just upload that to YouTube.
Lazy.
I know.
No, I can completely understand that, but you guys use OBS, so it's easier that way. But I prefer pre-recorded because that gives me a chance to cut and clean up some stuff for, especially if some people are like rather shy and ask if something to be cut.
This is very true.
This gives my guests more control, I guess, over what they might say, because they might think about it as like, there's something in there that I really just don't want known, and or what if I mentioned someone I really shouldn't have, and
yeah. No, that's perfectly fair. I mean, sometimes you do just need to go back and not edit, but, you know, just fix up a few things, especially dead space, dead air. That's usually one of the things that it's good to not have that, but it sucks to have to go into your podcast and then change that if that has happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things about like a podcast is you can control that perspective of whether people are giving you dead air or not. It's kind of nice, honestly, to be able to just like let people go, irrespective of you know whether somebody really wanted to say something. I mean, we tend to be as honest as we can be on ours. I mean, and like, I don't know. It's I guess it's more of a preference thing.
Continue. I'll say what I'm.
Go for it. I'm kind of done.
This is the problem with like other podcast hosts talking to other podcast hosts is because I want to stop and like, no, you speak, and you're like, no, you speak. And it's like,
there's dead air.
And then we just stop and we're like, who's gonna speak?
Who'll crack under this pressure?
we're like it's almost like playing chicken with politeness.
Yeah it's like that. You step to the left on the sidewalk, the other person steps with you, back and forth.
Exactly. It's like
what? I mean, like, unless you're in South Africa where it kind of wow.
Like the bus station here in Cape Town, like, holy crap. People will almost literally throw you under a bus just to get past you.
Oh, speaking of which, South Africa, drive on the right side or left side of the road?
Left side.
Okay, so you follow...
international law.
Yeah, okay.
pounds versus kilograms.
Yeah, I was about to bring up the metric versus imperial discussion, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the only thing about the metric versus imperial is most of the time in school they teach you, at least in college, they teach you, they do almost exclusively in, like, metric.
Because the vast majority of your books belong to the international audience and not the American one.
For college, yes. Mm-hmm. For... anything below, it's all like American, and we won't get into that.
Is this a sleeping dog I want to let lie?
Oh no, it isn't. Go.
I studied engineering. It's like numbers and units and stuff like that make sense to me, but the imperial system makes zero bloody sense. It's an arbitrary roller coaster of bullshit as to how many units of what is in what. Like, converting from inches to miles. Like, there's 12 inches in a foot, there's 3 feet in a yard, and there's, like, what? A 1,800 and something yards in a mile?
2,000, so feet in a mile.
This is 2,000 feet in a mile. Exactly.
At the end of the day, your fields... your American football fields are generally like done in feet, like you've got 10 feet, etc., etc., etc. But like, if you had to convert that to meters, you kind of sit there going like, where the hell are you guys running? Like, is the end zone at the end of 100 meters? Like, in it.
A football field is about. 48 meters wide and 110 meters long.
Is that including the end zone or not?
including two 10-meter end zones, pretty much. 9.2-meter end zones.
9.2 meters. That's about 10 yards? Is the end zone 10 yards long?
The end zone are 10 yards long.
Yeah.
Oy.
Did I just break your heads?
No, it just exacerbated the circumstances. Just solidifies my argument in my head.
Mm-hmm. It's a rounded number in Imperial.
Yes, it is a rounded number in Imperial, and that's all fine and well, but don't mix them. That's how you get Mars rovers destroyed.
Very true.
Actually, yes, you're right.
Yes. It's a well-known fact that NASA fucked that up.
Because some people are taught the metric and some people are taught the...
They sent through a thrust calculation instruction in, I don't know what the unit was exactly, but it was, the calculation was done in, the metric system, but the units sent through were Imperial, the Imperial version of that unit, so it didn't have enough thrust of it. Yeah, it didn't have enough thrust to properly land on the surface, and it just crashed into the Martian atmosphere. Burned up. It was destroyed on impact, sorry.
That's why a lot of colleges are trying to teach exclusively in, like, metric.
Which is fine by me. It's fine by my standards.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
It all makes sense.
It's 2v1, by the way, if you do
metric right. Is all about tens.
Yes. Instead of...
And honestly, I agree. It makes so much more sense.
Instead of arbitrary numbers, yes. Yes. Everything in its order. Everything in its place.
Don't go crazy now. Just chill. Sit down.
Okay. I'm calm.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
So, I mean, like, jobs outside of the furry fandom, what exactly beyond what you're doing currently?
Oh, you're talking about what I do outside the furry fandom?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going back in school. I'm 32, but I decided to go back in school for telecommunications.
Okay. Any particular reason as to why?
I'm actually hoping to get a job at NPR.
Nice.
NPR.
Yes. Nice. National Public Radio.
Yes.
Oh, of course. Huh. That's something that I've constantly played around with, but then again, there's absolutely no reason as to why I want to be there, except for possibly Radio 702. That would be the only reason.
I like talking to people, and so...
And finding out things about interesting people.
Yeah, I like finding out things about interesting people. I can be, as much as I have my own political ideologies that... I mean, obviously, we've talked about some of those earlier, and we're very close in ideologies ourselves, but something like NPR, you have to, like, put those aside in order to just talk to people.
And I mean, that's it all depends on what kind of NPR.
Yeah.
Person here in South Africa, for instance, called Eusebius McKaiser, who is unapologetic about the kind of standpoint that he has, and weirdly enough, our radio actually allows it to sort of manifest itself in the way that he speaks. He takes on politicians, he takes on LLs from his own particular perspective, and the thing is that he's literally paid to do that, which is great. And I mean, I think that NPR, or at least anything like that, should allow that kind of viewpoint, because it's extremely important that the viewpoint does get across, and irrespective of who you're selling for, which is my only issue, my only other issue about, like, national public radio is anything like that, is that you're constantly being sponsored by a particular group of people. And irrespective of your dislike of who and might be...
Well, with NPR, you're not sponsored by anybody. I mean, there's grants and stuff like that, and maybe they do sponsor a little bit, but it's not... They don't really take political leanings right or left. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how it's supposed to be. I mean...
It's honest, how it's supposed to be, but, I mean... Like, you're paid for by advertisers.
No, they aren't. Not really. Not on NPR.
You're paid for by your products, but I mean, are you paid for by your state? What exactly does NPR
do? NPR, National Public Radio, is paid for by usually viewer donations and from a national trust.
Oh, so, okay. Well, that's very socialist of you guys. Amazing.
Yes, yes it is. And of course, the government wants to cancel it.
Mm-hmm. Lol. Okay.
Where is this era's Mr. Rogers?
Exactly.
Maybe we're talking. Maybe we're talking.
No. Okay, are you talking? I am not going to be the furry Mr. Rogers.
Oh, please, be the furry Mr. Rogers.
Hey, everybody. Can't we just get along?
Will you be my neighbor? Let me take off my headphones. Wait.
Yeah, exactly. Let me take off my a wonderful day in the neighborhood. A wonderful day in the neighborhood.
Oh. Why do you ask that question? So sad when you sing like that.
Because I can't sing. I have no. That would be the death right there. I can't sing. I'd start singing, and everyone would be like, "Okay, pack up. We're going home."
I'm deaf.
I'm deaf. Yeah. But yeah, no, I am not doing that. Oh, hey, there's Mr. Bear. And instead of you like some guy in anthropomorphic outfit, it'd be like a gay bear, like in harness and everything.
Sitting there with like the deepest voice on earth, just going like, "Sup, motherfucker."
Will you be my neighbor? No, my word.
Oh, goodness me. Okay. I need to breathe. Just
For some reason,
are you okay?
I'm trying to imagine Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but it's like an average South African neighborhood. It's like the house is just like walled off on all sides, like barbed wire fencing everywhere. It's like, will you be my neighbor? No.
Honestly, the more you look at Mr. Rogers, the more of a great guy he is.
I know, right?
You know who else is actually a really good guy?
Mm-hmm.
Vincent Price.
Oh, you're right.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He had a gay daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he might have been bisexual himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was very anti-racist. He hated racism. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, but there was a little article recently I saw on Vincent Price, and he was very, very, especially for the time, he was very progressive.
Interesting. Yeah.
There's pretty much only one thing that I dislike about Vincent Price.
What?
It's the fact that he didn't want to do the intro to, Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast.
All right.
He actually said that, like, Iron Maiden wasn't able to pay them or pay him enough money to be able to do that intro. So they found somebody who sounded a lot like him to go and do it.
Oh. His loss, I believe.
Yeah, I actually agree. Mostly because, I mean, Number of the Beast became like an absolute hit in 1980s, 90s, 20s, 2010s.
It couldn't have become a hit in 4 decades.
It has been a hit for 4 decades.
It's held up that long. I'm sorry,
Vincent Price was a had a number of cookbooks too.
What did he cook?
Everything. He had a group of cookbooks he offered with his second wife, and so you've got Mary and Vincent's treasury of cookery.
What?
Huh.
I'm not kidding you. He also co-hosted a cooking show at one time.
No, I mean, he played Egghead in the Batman television series.
Yeah, am I breaking your idea of Vincent Price?
I'm looking.
No, but then again, this picture of Egghead is literally breaking my idea of Vincent Price. What?
No, I'm looking at a picture of Vincent Price menacingly standing with a knife over what looks like a ham hock. With one of those like sharpening things in the on, like off to the side, this is the most backwards representation of what I know this guy to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just look at this. Look at the photo there.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
What? Well, yeah, because think about it. It is amazing that someone who is known for that horror and everything is actually supposedly just a really nice guy. He was one of those people who was in on the joke.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fair point.
Yeah, including Egghead, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, one of the weirder Batman villains. The 60s was horrible for comics. It sounds that was like really. Oh, okay. I will give you a reason why it was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Quilt Man.
Okay. Okay. Quilt no, you, you're gonna love this. There was this book in America called The Seduction of the Innocent.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by a man who said comics were the reason for all of the ills of society, all of the denigration of today's youth. It was because comic books, specifically like horror and crime comics. And, oh, even better, Batman and Robin were gay.
Mm-hmm.
And Wonder Woman was gay.
I've heard this story before.
Oh, it gets better. The Batman and Robin are gay? You could, with some of the stuff that happened in the books, you could almost like, yeah, that's... It was a sign of the times, but at the same time, it's like, oh wow, nowadays it looks super wrong. But the Wonder Woman reasoning, oh my god, his reason that Wonder Woman was gay, which of course at the time is bad, was that she was a strong, independent woman. Literally, oh,
that's a great reason as to be gay. Great stuff.
Exactly.
Strong, independent woman, you're gay. What?
No, yeah, he actually said that. Yes, she did not follow men's laws, etc., etc.
This woman does things for herself. Obviously, she's a dyke.
Exactly. Exactly, and it's even worse considering that the creator of Wonder Woman was definitely into bondage. This was not a secret.
Yeah.
He created the lie detector. He was an actual psychologist, and he was in a polyamorous relationship, a consensual polyamorous. Oh yeah, no, he was very progressive. He was very feminist. He thought women were the better gender, and that they should be the leaders. But that's neither here nor there. So the American public read this as like, government, you need to censor comic books.
Ugh.
And instead of like, no, the government has free, you should have free stuff. Nope, they started having issues about how comic books were destroying our youth. So they created something called the Comics Code Authority, which luckily has been taken down, but it, like, all horror shit you could not do. Anyone in any police officer, you could not portray police or government officials in a bad light whatsoever.
Oh, but I mean, welcome to the era where Tipper Gore was busy doing what she was.
Yeah,
doing.
Yeah, it was censorship galore, and it was even, and it was even worse because you had stuff like the people who did the Comics Code. They were pretty much the gods, and if they wanted to like enforce racist stereotypes, they could force. Do something like that. Like there was a story about
it's why Marvel is better than DC.
Marvel was I will say this, Marvel was the first to tell the Comics Code to fuck off.
Yeah. Like,
okay, I'll, as I said, during the 1980s, the government asked Marvel to do Stan Lee to do a story about drugs, an anti-drug story.
Oh, so, hooray.
Oh, no, no. It's actually good because Stan Lee is like, okay, how do I do this without screwing up? Oh, I know. I'll put it in a Spider-Man book, but as a secondary plot without, like, you know, telling kids drugs are bad. I'll just show them the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually really good. It was very progressive. And so he did that. It was hailed real... Well, it was going to be... That's the end thing. The comics hailed. But the problem was when he submitted it to the Comic Code Authority, they said, nope, can't do it. There's drugs. Drugs are bad. Okay. Oh, but no. This is an anti-drug story. Drugs are bad. Can't do it. So Stan Lee, editor of Marvel Comics, said fuck off and decided to publish the three issues anyways.
Mm-hmm. As Halcyon here says, is how do parents tell them the new thing is evil and to blame for why the child doesn't listen to mom and dad.
Yeah, but
exactly. Nowadays, you works. Kind of. Oh, no, you were going to say Scratch?
It never works. The Hays code was bullshit for films. The comics code was bullshit for comics. I didn't know what they're going to implement for video games at some point, but, I mean, none of it works.
It's the ESRB, pretty much.
Yeah, the ESRB is just a rating service. It doesn't enforce anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's pretty much what the but the comics code actually. The big issue with the comics code,
but
I will tell you this. The SRB, at least you have like levels, you know what I mean, like mature and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The comics code came out at a time when comics were sold at like your grocery store or at like a magazine place.
Okay.
And if they didn't have the code, most of the time, the grocers would not sell them. So it was tantamount to censorship because there was no, like, rating system. It was like, either you go with all these stuff or you won't, or else we won't sell your comics. So, yeah, that's why I hate the comics code. Luckily, as I said, around 2001, 2000, Marvel just decided to just say fuck it and destroy the code and came up with their own like rating system where they didn't censor their stuff, but they did post things like this is for all ages or this is for mature audiences.
Yeah, which I mean, look, I mean, I understand and I actually get that completely. Like, I do understand that, like, you know, you shouldn't necessarily expose like a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old to something, you know, like Zausch, for instance.
wow.
Just to push something out there. Like, the thing is that, I mean, like, it's just not necessarily something that you want to be able to deal with as a parent. I mean, if somebody asks, like, what is that? And you're going, well, that's for a conversation for when you're 14. Thank you very much.
You do not want to take your 5-year-old to Deadpool.
No, you don't. And yet some people have, and then have complained about the fact that there was no code to it. You sit there going like, but the code was there. It was rated R. What the hell does R mean to you? R means that all ages with the R in it? What?
I'm not sure what the ratings are in South Africa, so.
They're exactly the same, honestly. Yeah. They're very, very, very similar to.
It's like 18 plus with NSLV.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, like a place like ETC, for instance, is an over 21s club, whereas obviously our drinking laws are at 18, which is perfectly fine. But I mean,
right. You're at 21. We're at 21 here, so
yeah, we're at 18. So I mean, like the thing is that like the only problem, say, with South Africa is the fact that like you can drive, drink, and go to war at the age of 18,
and get access to porn.
All at the same time. You're going to sit there going like, I wouldn't mind being able to drive and be able to age of 16 because that sounds like a great idea. Because 16 to 18, then I'm not drinking while I'm doing it, at least not legally, which is great. That's perfect.
Well, hey, at that time, you can drink and drive to the porn store.
And yet, at the age of 18, you're allowed to go to war. You're not allowed to drink.
Yeah.
To save yourself from the kind of horror that you experience.
PTSD, fun for everybody.
I mean, it's absolutely fine. That's great. Like, absolutely fine. Let's just, you know, relinquish the idea of actually being able to handle something through another vice. Great stuff. Wonderful.
Yeah. Wow, we've gotten way off topic here.
Yeah.
Topic schmopic. But you are the topic anyway, and you are contributing. So that's great.
Yeah, we haven't run out of material yet. As I said, you mentioned stuff about comics, and I won't just tell you about like who died, who came back. I'll tell you about the history and
as to why they died and came back.
Oh, I'll tell you. Oh, as I said, one of the comics code. I'm sorry, I hate the comics code. It's one of those things. The more that I learned about it, because I wrote an article on it, the more I learned about it, the worse I hated it. Like, there was this amazing story in the 1955, right after the Comics Code came out, about a astronaut sent from the United Earth, the United League of Earth people or whoever. He was sent to a planet where there was two types of robots, a upper class and lower class robots. Obviously, it was an allegory for racism. And they were the robots were trying to get into this, to the Earth, the Earth group. And at the end, he said, the astronauts told him, "I'm sorry, until you find a way to make things equal, we can't allow you in." And at the very end, he takes off his helmet and it reveals a black guy. And at the time, it was like mind-blowing because this is the 1950s. And this isn't like some 1950s African American caricature.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even going to put it to, I'm not even going to say how bad some of the caricatures of black people were looked at in the comic world.
This ain't your Jim Crow stereotype.
Oh, no, no, no. This was a very well-drawn black man. But the person who was heading the code said, "No, we can't do that." Why not? He's a black guy. Who would believe that?
Wow.
Who would believe that? Okay.
Yeah, and it's like, did you not read the story? And it's like, yeah, so unfortunately that publisher went out of business soon after.
Because of that?
Possibly. That was one of those things. It's like, because they wouldn't give them the comic code. So, yeah, as I said, the the Comic Code Authority, I really hate it. I mean, as I said, the more I learned about it, the more crap of, I mean, yeah, yeah. I mean, I can understand trying to protect kids from, like, adult, super adult stuff, but if you're...
Yeah, but at what point does that stop being a government institution's responsibility and just being the parents' responsibility?
Yeah, that's the other issue. And this wasn't even a this wasn't even like a government, because the CCA was created by comic publishers, but it was by its own private system. So it's not like the publishers were like able to control it. They gave it to a separate, like, foundation, the Comics Code Authority, so that it was so that it would be fair. Yeah, that didn't work out well. And
I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and a side note, it turns out years later that all the, like, stats and stuff in The Seduction of the Innocent were either faked or highly unlikely to... inconclusive and stuff like that. So, yeah. There's
good to,
that.
Yeah, good to know there are people out there who are still trying to undermine new media.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, but it does go to show that this whole video games are bad is nothing new.
Yeah, no, it's always been like that.
Oh, yeah, it's always been like that.
Phones are going to destroy books. Oh,
Yeah, books. Books are going to be... Books in general, they're going to destroy youth because of... They're gonna give our girls ideas.
Heaven forbid a woman can think for herself.
No, heaven forbid a woman can be strong and independent without being a lesbian.
How dare they?
I know. I mean, anyone who's strong and female, I mean,
good luck.
Not gonna be able to.
Yeah, good luck in your lesbian lifestyle from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Halcyon mentions the following, like, game Steam Origin can simply pull games and developments they don't approve of with gradual strictness over content creation or by simply controlling a popular brand of development as a suggestion to scratches to what can they do for video games, obviously.
Oh,
and I mean,
yeah.
Like, that's horrifying. Like, the idea that, like, on some sort of random perspective, oh, yeah, no, that's not good. We're gonna...
Well, you heard about what German does with video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
German censors their video games to, like, super extreme stuff. Like, all the Wolfenstein games, anything Nazi-related is, like, taken out. All the bad guys are, like, robots.
Yeah, but, I mean, the thing is that it's the same thing for America, just by the way. You look at something like Samurai Jack, for instance, where the vast majority of any kind of... And this was actually something that was mentioned to us by one of our guests. Mm-hmm. He actually mentioned that, you know, Samurai Jack was, like, all the villains were replaced by, what's the word?
Robots.
Like, robots, particularly because oil is not blood.
Yeah. Well, they did the same thing for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, too.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if you read the original... Yeah, oh, God, once again, I'm showing my age. But if you read the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which, by the way, was a parody of Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, they sort of cross over, but that's another story. Sorry for boring you with all this random comic book.
No, it's actually very interesting.
Yeah, the whole TMNT was just a parody of the super grim and gritty 90s comics. And at the end of the original TMNT comic, they rip Shredder to shreds, literally.
Shredder dies.
Oh yeah, they rip him apart. They pretty much kill him in the first episode, in the first comic.
As in human being getting shredded, not robot getting shredded.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and all the Foot Clan were actual real people. They sanitized that greatly for the cartoon.
Oh, very much yes. I assume you can't go into mass market with mass murder.
No, you can't. Now, interestingly enough, if you really want to read a good version of, like, the Turtles or something like that, or even a good version of, like, Transformers and everything, check out stuff by IDW.
Mm-hmm.
IDW has the rights for the Turtles and Transformers and all that stuff. And they do a lot of great... versions of that. Transformers has turned Megatron into a freedom fighter.
Oh yeah.
In a very well placed storyline. Mm-hmm. Pretty much on Cybertron, the reason why Megatron went evil is that Cybertron was introducing he was a miner, and he was introducing, like, the planet was introducing, like, actual robots instead of, like, just normal Cybertronians to do their work, and so they were taking their jobs. Mm-hmm. And so when when Megatron spoke out about it, they decided to throw him in jail and then lose him in jail so that he could be used to fight in a gladiatorial ring for the upper crust.
Wow.
For the super rich.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, Megatron rebelled and created the Decepticons straight up in order to take out the ruling class, who was pretty much forcing people to kill each other for their pleasure.
Hmm. This somehow reminds me of the more interesting story of, like, there's a League character called Garen, who's mm-hmm. supposed to be, like, the sort of ruler of what they call Demacia. And he's sort of the next in line for kingship and everything like that. But the thing is that, like, his newest skin literally shows him off as, like, a despot of absolute... sort of like power and everything like that. He's like, they call him God King, and you kind of sit there going, like, the fuck. His lines are so off kilter to what you would expect his active character to be, that you kind of realize that, you know, this idea of, you know, fighting for the ideal of the absolute good may not necessarily always be the best thing that you can be doing.
Oh yeah, there's that.
It's
the paladin.
Yeah. It comes across as extremely despotic, the way that he, like, talks and everything. But, I mean, like, that beyond that. I mean, We have come to run about an hour and a half into a podcast. If we do want to talk further, more than welcome to. I'm going to leave that out there. What do you guys want to do?
Up to you. I don't perfect. Care.
I'm perfectly fine to continue for a bit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if we can find a proper sort of stopping point, then by all means, let's see if we can wrap this up. But yeah.
I mean, like, onto comic book characters, actually. let's go there. I mean, for maybe the next 15 or so minutes.
Okay.
When it comes to, and again, you've got a vast knowledge, and I kind of want to dig into that for a little bit. What was the most progressive character that has been created by either Marvel or DC? Or either?
It's very hard to find a very that wasn't like, sometimes some of these characters are planned out to be progressive, which, I mean, yeah, it's good, but at the same time, if it's like planned just to be like, we're creating this character just to be progressive, sometimes it hurts it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But other times it's planned, it's just on the offshoot. Marvel has a lot of progressive characters at this point. Unfortunately, they're mm-hmm. taking away some of them because we'll get into it. Marvel in the past year, they've changed. In the past few years, they changed a lot of their main characters. Thor is a woman. Mm-hmm. Wolverine is actually a female Latino.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Marvel is a Muslim American.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you at least plenty of LGBT characters in Marvel. DC, there's a lot, but they're not as like well known. Batwoman. I'm not saying Batgirl, but Batwoman is LGBT. Very mm-hmm. great character. They tried to push a sort of Muslim Green Lantern character after Marvel did their Miss Marvel, but he's sort of not really doing too well. He doesn't have a lot of... He's sort of one of those characters that doesn't have a lot of personality other than mm-hmm. being, like, Muslim. It's like...
It's the token.
But then again, he's sort of token, and I'm like... Ugh. I would have loved to see more done with him, and... But I haven't been reading a lot of his books just because I didn't enjoy the first beginnings of his run.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a really good story, now you got to remember that this takes place in the 1980s. But do you know who Neil Gaiman is?
Yes.
Yep.
Read a series called The Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my to read list. A lot of people have recommended that to me.
It's horror, fantasy. There's some superhero things in there, but it is a very great storyline. You got to remember takes place in the 1980s, so you can't put a lot of today's modern ideas about LGBT stuff. But he mm-hmm. actually included gay characters, transgender characters, in fact, in comics in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
As not villains, as good people.
Hmm.
Of course, it's not as... Obviously, it's not as like clean as you'd like it to be. The characters mm-hmm. aren't as like as well thought out as you'd like them to be, but it was still 1980s, and he portrayed these characters in good lights. Mm-hmm. There's problematic elements, of course.
Yeah,
but you've got to look at it as one, a sign of the times as well. So, and no one talked about transgender people in the 1980s, at least in public.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean... But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. It was a very progressive comic for its time. It was very adult. Nudity, graphic depictions of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also very cerebral. There was a lot of great poetics. Poetic scenes, a lot of great storylines. So yeah, it was a very forward type of comic. Pretty much, it's about the idea of the endless. pretty much a group of six. Is it six characters? Yeah, I think six characters who are anthropomorphic embodiments of dream, death, destiny, despair, desire, and delirium.
Mm-hmm.
The protagonist is a guy, is pretty much the endless of dreams, also known as Morpheus, the titular Sandman. He's the story starts out with him being trapped by a group of people who want to trap death. And okay, I will say death is one of my two favorite deaths in all of media. Death is portrayed in DC as like, imagine a modern day goth girl.
Okay.
That is death. She wears an ankh. She has, she wears like a, here, I'll just show you. She's one of those characters who is so great because she doesn't come and kill you. She just comes to collect.
Ah.
Take a look.
Like Mars Death. Oh.
Yeah. You might have seen her before, but she's a very nice person. She's very adult in the way that she treats everybody. And one of the stories about her is that she has her own spinoff where every year she takes on, she becomes human just so that she remembers why she's doing what she does.
Interesting.
That's actually really awesome.
Yeah, and she's a great character. She always tries to take nice, she tries to be so nice for the people she takes. And each storyline, sometimes it has everything to do with these characters. Sometimes it has, like, then sometimes it deals with ancillary characters or in their adventures and eventually meeting up with Dream and all this super, like, fantastic fantasy elements pop in. And so, yeah, it's a great read. I'd suggest it's won plenty of awards.
Okay, we'll definitely have a look at that. And I think, yeah, I think we can probably wrap it up. Obviously, there was a point in our program where we allow you to, you know, do what you need to do when it comes to
plug.
You know, plug absolutely anything you'd want to plug. So go right ahead if you'd like to. I know that you plugged your artist.
Vulcan Fox, check out his Pirate's Fate game on Steam. It's a choose your own adventure sort of like storytelling with a lot of transformation elements. He draws all the art. TF Wright writes it. Ivy Beth, always check her out. She's a great artist. And if you want to look at my stuff, make sure I've got Fur Affinity page, Twitter account. Mm-hmm. I do some writing every so often, but that sort of slowed down because I've been going back to school and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have a Patreon for Panda Paws if you want to donate every so often.
All right. If you'd like to, just maybe pop those links in our chats that we can put. Yeah.
I shall.
Please do.
Cool. Yes.
I hope I have entertained your audience.
I actually think that you have. There's some very, very interesting giving us throughout this entire thing. Obviously, I mean, our focus kind of jumped from place to place, but then again, that's kind of the nature of our podcast.
Love tangents.
Tangents are kind of our favorite thing to do as well. But yeah, thank you very, very much for being on the podcast with us. We really do appreciate.
Welcome.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being on my podcast.
For anyone listening, that should be out when? Is it out already?
That'll be out next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Okay,
The 24th.
Yeah, I like a little bit more time to like edit things and everything like that. And
all right.
perfectly
we
fine.
We were that bad that you need an entire week to do this.
Oh. Mr. Oh, I just record in OBS and then stuff it on YouTube.
Just slap it on YouTube.
Because, yep. because we want to show everybody the real person that we're talking
A likely story. No, thank you very much.
Thank you. We really do appreciate it. And
hopefully we can do this again, is what he said.
Yeah, I thought so. It's always interesting. Sometimes people just cut out that.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, thanks a lot for coming on. And anyone who's still listening, Ivic, will you be doing music after this?
Yes, of course. As always, music after this. Yeah, so the Patreon is here for those of you guys. Check that out. Go to patreon.com/pandapause.
Yeah, that's pause spelled P A U S E.
U S. Yeah. Cool. Help stuff. Him reach his next goal, actually. That's he's dollar away.
$1?
Yep.
$1.
I'll see you. I hope to listen to you guys again.
Yeah, we hope to definitely do some sort of collaboration in the future. This was great. I think maybe we can actually do something more in depth in respect to something, whichever sort of topic anybody chooses to do, we can actually have a look at that.
Okay, no problem. Just all so right. You know where to contact me.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, cool. See you guys around next time.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.